Welcome back to Left of Normal, where everything that isn't right is left, and everything that is left is right. I'm your host, Scott Seary. Before we get started, I just wanted to say thank you for being here. I appreciate you. I appreciate your support. I would love it if you could make things a little bit better, a little bit more supportive. It doesn't cost you a thing. It just takes a couple clicks and maybe some typing. Just click like, comment, share, whatever podcast platform you happen to be tuning in on. There might be a star rating. Give me 5 stars, 3 stars, 10 stars. I don't know. Whatever you can do would make it a whole lot better. And if nothing else, someone else might find enjoyment, encouragement, education, or just a bit of entertainment from tuning in. So last week I was out of town taking a little vacay and trying very hard not to think about anything work or podcast related. So really there's no shout out look back to last week. But if you do want to hit up the latest podcast, I had Caden on as my guest. And he kind of went through his story. He was told growing up very often that he wouldn't accomplish much. He wouldn't amount to much due to his autism. Yet, time and again, he proved people wrong by accomplishing great things. Just finish up this episode, scroll on back, and tune into that one. So this week was, this podcast, this episode that you're listening to now was a bit last minute. Usually I plan these things out in advance. I create a theme that I go through the week. If you follow the Facebook page, I post some additional content over there. I'm winging it a bit on this one. In fact, I don't even have a script for it. Well, this part is scripted, and so was the intro, and the outro also was also scripted, and there's actually a couple more lines of script here before I get to the non-scripted part. The coming up stories of my feral years are largely off the cuff, a phrase here which means with very little planning. So let's get into this. When I was in college, those were my most unmasked years. They're years where I could just be weird and largely be my weird self. Because in high school, when you act weird, you get teased and bullied, and you really just have to put your head down and get through those 4 years. After college, it's hard to have a career and be weird unless you're somebody like Weird Al, who, you know, just leaned into the weirdness. Because employers demand conformity, and they aren't quite as lenient as temp or part-time employers were in college, in my experience anyway. Because now you have to look all professional and don't cause a scene and wear pants to work. It's just not as much fun as causing scenes. College was fun, though, because you're almost expected to be weird. It's almost like you're in college, so you're required. It's part of your GPA. It's part of your coursework to just embrace whatever makes you you. For me, those were my feral years. So we'll start off with, I went to my freshman year here in Billings at Rocky Mountain College. I didn't know too many people there. I had a few friends from high school that attended there as well. And then I had, my friend group was largely a year younger or a year behind. So they were seniors in high school, whereas I was a freshman, so sticking around in Billings was a bit easier, so I could keep hanging out with the friends on the weekend and still go to college rather than go off somewhere like I did later. Anyway, that year I kind of had my head down because it was new, it was confusing, it was scary, but then I started realizing that people were weird and people didn't really care what sort of weird things you did, for the most part. And I always thought painting nails was fun. It was calming. It was relaxing. You know, they get some fun colors on your fingernails. I generally stuck to the manly ones, like blues and blacks and greens, grays. I even had a silver one that was actually really fun. When you got it just right, it could reflect the moonlight off of it. So I'd paint my nails every couple of weeks. Once they started chipping, I'd peel that off. I'd take it off. And then I got to the point where I didn't want just straight one color per nail. I started putting a little piece of tape on there, and I'd paint paint one half of it blue and then wait for that to dry and then paint the other half green, or section it off into stripes or quadrants. And so most people didn't care. There was one girl in one of my classes that asked me if I painted my nails to get a response. I was like, well, since you're the only one that's responded, no, I paint it because I enjoy it. I like having pretty nails. When I moved up to Bozeman for the remainder of college, I couldn't quite do that as much. I had a lot of negative reinforcement, and people didn't enjoy letting me have painted nails, so I just kind of stopped. I would like to go back to painting nails, but my wife says that's unacceptable. In college, though, I played around with other aspects of appearance. I permed my hair. I let my hair grow out longer and permed it. That wasn't quite as crazy because some people have longer red curly hair. Carrot Top, who is also very weird and embraces the weirdness and makes a living doing it. Anyway, I permed the hair. It was pretty fun. I had this big poofy curly hair for a little while. One year I dyed my hair black, which was quite interesting because I have red hair and red-headed features, and then suddenly I went jet black for a period of time. It actually kind of looked interesting when my roots turned red. They grew back red and the ends of the hair were black. Got a lot of interesting looks. During college, during up in Bozeman when I was up there, I don't know if this place is still around, there was a lab located somewhere downtown-ish, and they developed antibacterial soaps. These soaps were designed to obviously clean and remove as much bacteria as possible, but in order to do this, they had to test the effectiveness of their soap. So there were a couple different parts here. I think we went in 3 times per soap test, and we'd get paid actually quite a bit of money for a college student. It was like $200 to $400. But we'd go in, so you'd sign up for these soap tests, and then you would have to, about a month later, you know, say you sign up 6 weeks in advance or whatever, you go in and they do a preliminary test. They have these little cylinder things, and they put them kind of on the inside of the thigh, and they swab the skin to see how much bacteria you have on your skin. Then they do a second test and they swab and they mix around the bacterial antibacterial soap in order to remove as much bacteria as possible. And then they would swab it again and see and count the cultures from both times, before and after. And then sometimes you'd come back like a week later and they'd do another follow-up to see how long the antibacterialness lasted. Anyway, it was super easy. You got paid hundreds of dollars for it. Ended up being usually like an hour's worth of work. It was, and not even work, you just laid there and let somebody test how much bacteria you had on you. Well, in order to really qualify, if you didn't have enough bacteria on you, they disqualified you, you didn't get paid. And so I wanted to make sure I got paid because I absolutely hate working and wanted to have a little bit of money that I didn't have to slog through a tedious job for it. And so as soon as I signed up for these things, usually about a month out, I would just stop showering. And I went the entire month without showering. And there was a couple times where I actually even went for a jog to kind of really build up sweatiness or whatever and let that bacteria fester. Fortunately, I'm not a very smelly person because I didn't get too many "ew, you're grosses." There were a few, but it was mostly because they knew that I hadn't showered for an entire month rather than I actually looked or smelled gross. I generally did very well. The scientists who were developing this really enjoyed when I signed up for the soap tests because my bacteria counts were high, to say the least. At one point, during that time, I don't remember if it was junior or senior year of college, part of my feralness led me to Walmart, and I purchased a Powerpuff Girls watch. I don't remember last week or this week, sometime I was thinking about this, and for whatever reason it brought up, and that kind of spurred the entire idea for the weirdness that goes on in college. But I'd wear this Powerpuff Girl watch all the time. The soap testers actually commented on it. They said it was really funny and enjoyed that I would be a quote-unquote grown man wearing a little girl's watch. It barely fit. I had to have it on like the last little notch or so, or maybe second to last. A little pink watch cost me like $9, so it was super easy to lean into that weirdness. And most people that saw it would give me kind of strange looks because they didn't quite understand that it was entirely awesome. Unfortunately, one time I took it off to play Ultimate Frisbee, set it on top of my backpack, and then when we were done playing Frisbee, I picked up the backpack, forgetting that it was on top and not in the pouch, walked back to my dorm or my apartment, wherever I was living, realized I forgot my watch, walked all the way back to the field, and somebody had swiped it. And that was the end of the Powerpuff Girls watch. But it wasn't the end of the weirdness. I fully leaned into other things, wore not necessarily entirely strange clothing, but not necessarily entirely unstrange. I had my hair long for a little bit, so I rolled up a bandana and wore that hippie style, just, you know, because I could, and actually kind of enjoyed just having that bandana on. I bought a pair of flared pants, and so, you know, if I got long hair and a hippie style bandana on, I might as well lean into the bell bottoms as well. But then I would generally go without shoes. I still don't enjoy wearing shoes. I would prefer to be barefoot all the time, but a lot of times you can't actually just be barefoot. People frown upon that, and restaurants don't want you in their building. I remember there was one time, I think I was back over the summer from college, or maybe it was right after I graduated. Anyway, I had this fancy new pair of shoes that I picked up when I was over in Europe, and I rather enjoyed those shoes. One of the few pairs of shoes I actually liked to wear. Just, they felt good, and they had a unique style. Not outrageous, not weird, but unique, and they're considered dress shoes. But I went to church with them on one time, and the pastor was saying hi, and looks at me, he's like, "Oh my goodness, you're wearing shoes." So I'd go to church without shoes on. I'd go to class without shoes on. I'd generally tuck a pair of flip-flops into my bag in case I needed to use the bathroom while I was on campus, because as weird as I am, I generally do not like walking around in public restrooms barefoot. Most likely nothing's going to happen, but that's just kind of gross. And there were occasions where I had to walk across hot coals, too, so I had to throw the flip-flops on for that as well. So after college, and I transitioned back into the real world, or into the real world for the first time, I continued to try to lean into my weirdness, but as I mentioned before, it doesn't really go over quite as well when everyone is trying to impress everyone else. So when you go to a job interview and you have enormous permed hair and you haven't shaven in 2.5 weeks and you may smell a little funky, you don't get jobs. They want you to comb your hair and trim your beard and wear a tie and all this nonsense that I don't even know why we've gotten started with that as a society. Sure, we should look nice, but do we really have to look that nice all the time? So over time, I did a little bit of grad school, about a semester of grad school, where I was able to keep the weirdness going for a bit, but I took a year off before going down to Texas for grad school, and eventually the weirdness got covered over. I had to put the mask back on, pretend that I am not who I really am, and just blend into society so I can make a living, hopefully one day retire, and then maybe the weirdness can come back out. Well, I do work for myself now, and my boss now does not care if I'm super weird, so I might perm my hair again. Maybe dye it black. I wonder if Powerpuff Girls are still a thing. I might swing by Walmart and pick up another $9 watch. For now, you've had a peek into the world where everything left is right. And if it feels right, then it must be left. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, please like, comment, subscribe, join the Facebook community. You can feel free to ask any questions, interact, talk amongst yourselves over there. Remember that being weird is actually coming back in vogue. So stay feral, my friends. And of course, share this podcast with your friends, whether they are left, normies, or right.